Thanks, worship team. God served us well this morning. So it's clear, just, James, can you maybe just put me a little bit softer? That from the worship team to Ryan with the stewardship teaching, that God is definitely saying something about seeing this morning. That God is definitely pointing us in a direction. And so it really is encouraging for me, even as I'm bringing the word this morning. And maybe you can put up just my start slide there. Here we go. 2020. Very blue eyes there. But 2020 is kind of like everybody from the church to social media to secular world, everybody is jumping onto 2020 as the year of perfect vision. Now, that's kind of like the thing of if you have 2020 vision, then you have perfect vision. It means you don't need glasses or spectacles. And so it's so easy for our hearts to go towards, cool, it's the year of vision, it's the year of new things. But I really do feel like there's a couple of things for this year that God has placed in my heart and I believe what is for us and from Him. But 2020 is one of those things, like as you start reading and what people are saying, like at the end of the year you have all these lists. Your Facebook does a whole kind of put together of what you've done in 2019. Your Spotify does all the music that you listen to. This thing does all that you've done in 2019. Your bank statement is, you know, they don't even need to tell you about 2019. It's just everything is kind of like compressing and summarizing 2019 for you. And then we start hearing people speaking about 2019. They go, oh man, I thought 2018 was bad year and I'll never have a year like that. But 2019, I never want a year like that again. Is there some of us that feel like that? Yeah. See, the thing is, we're always going to want our next year to come to be a happier year, a more wealthier year, a year that is set full of things. That's why at the beginning of the year, we go, oh man, I look at myself in the mirror and just, this needs to change. And you start exercising and you start stop eating meat, which I don't know why, that's the devil speaking, but you all of a sudden realize, like, no, I need to change a lifestyle here. And it kind of, like, lasts for a week or two. And then it's like, oh, this year is going. We'll catch it as the year goes ahead. And you come to the end of the year, and it's just the same person in the mirror. A little bit bigger. A little bit this, a little bit that. And you go, oh, this year, I never want a year like that again. Do you guys feel like that sometimes? But this morning, I really want to come and I want to encourage us towards what God has for us. See, I don't think God looks at 2019 and go, glad that's over, let's do 2020. God doesn't see years. Just hear me in that. God looks at things from a different perspective. He looks at where it started. He looks at where kind of he's coming back, which is for us the end. But also he looks into eternity. He's not just stuck in a year. He's not stuck in a moment. He's not stuck in time. He looks beyond that. And the thing is, if we're going to push our hearts towards the moment, towards time, towards a year, we're always going to end up coming short. That's just how it's made to be. And I want to encourage us that this morning, I believe this is not just something for this year, but I want to say to you, this is something for us into eternity. And that's where I want to first of all encourage you for this year, is don't look to the now. Look to what is yet to come. Look at what is ahead. Look into eternity, not the temporary. For me, vision is not just saying like, I'm seeing something, I'm seeing that pole or that pinpoint and I'm going to walk towards that. No, 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 no. Vision is something of a hope that's inside of our hearts. It's something that goes beyond the things that what I'm seeing, I don't have to worry about what's here. I just need to get there. And eternity is that pinpoint for us. Eternity is that place where we go, we're not so much set on tomorrow or next year or maybe 5 years from now. No, no, no. We are set towards eternity. Because we know that that's the place where we really find life. That's the place where we become whole, where we are made perfect, where we get to be with our Lord and Savior. It's not just the now. And I really feel like that's where God is wanting us to look to. I want to encourage us with this, that God has a plan. God has a plan. He's had a plan from the beginning of time. He had a plan even when it looked like God is gone and there's no God. He had a plan. Through each and everything, He had a plan. And that plan is still being rolled out and still coming into the fruition. And God is moving everything towards that thing. I mean, it's so beautiful for me that we sang this morning of Jesus, the day when He is going to come. It's like that is part of His plan. And that day, He's planning towards that day. Just as we were worshiping, I felt the Lord speak to me just about the second coming. And I'm not going to say that it's going to be on this blood moon and that, like, that's not what I'm saying. But I just felt like the Lord said to me, it's spoken already. And it's not like He spoke it like the other day, you know, like 2 weeks ago or something. No, the Lord showed me that when He started everything, He spoke it already. And that even His words is waiting for Him to say, go. I mean, that's amazing. That's who our God is. When He speaks something, it stands firm. It stays there. Nothing can move it except Him. God is faithful to accomplish His plan. We all know the very well-known scripture of Jeremiah 29. It says, "For I know that the plans I have towards you is plans of peace and not of evil, that you might have a future and a hope." We know this. But that's God's promise in the midst of absolute chaos. We think load shedding is bad. That was way worse than load shedding. I was speaking to Marnie, spending some time with Marnie from Zambia about a week ago or so. And we were speaking about the trip that we have to Zambia, and we were planning out a couple of things. And he's saying, like, you better bring your power bank with. And I mean, like, hey, but Marnie, we also have load shedding. He's like, no, no, no. We've got load shedding for like 16 hours a day. So it's like when you charge everything you can charge to charge everything else that you need when you can't charge, kind of thing. Us load shedding is like people, oh, my life is over. Like, no, no, when God was speaking to His people there, they were in slavery. They were being killed off. They're being worked to the ground. They're being treated as the lowest, in Afrikaans, there's this word, virumboli. Okay? And this is not an English word that describes it, something as low as virumboli. Okay? Like, they were treated like virumboli. Well, come speak to me if you don't understand it. Okay? Later. And in the midst of that, God is saying, hey, don't just look at what's happening in front of you right now. I've got a plan for you. And my plan for you is to prosper you. My plan for you is to bring you peace. My plan for you is that you will have a future. in the midst of the virumbole. And I think for us, we so easily forget that. We forget that God has spoken. We forget that He's got a plan. And so kind of our year starts and we try and make all these plans to make things work, to make things better, for us to be happier, for us to be more secure, to be slimmer. But I want to ask you, what is going to make this year different than the last? What's really going to make it different? See, we find ourselves in a place of where we become so busy that we're doing stuff the whole time, but then a year goes past and you realize, I haven't actually moved forward. I kind of like almost in the same place. But being in the same place a year later, it's not the same place anymore. It's actually backwards. So what is going to make this year different? How are we going to go about family life, about finances, about our relationships? How are we going to go about our marriages? How are we going to go about it differently this year? See, God's plan for us is that our marriages would grow, that we would mature in them. God's plan for us is that our relationships would grow, that we would mature in it. God's plan for us is that our love inside of us would grow, that we would mature in it. It's like the fruits of the Spirit is there for us. Peace, patience. It's not peace, it's not a fruit of the Spirit. But patience, endurance. Like we need to grow in these things, mature in these things. There's a movement forward. So everything in our lives also need to grow. The thing is, we mostly just focus on that one thing that we want to grow. Our bank account. I'm just being honest here. See, the scripture speaks of that. And we'll get into it. But there's three things that scripture mentions. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. What we see, what we feel and want and inside you, your flesh, and the pride of life, you know. I've done it. I've made it. Look at me. But when you boil all those things down, all of them get caught up in this one thing called money. Really. But money in itself is not really something that's just, you know, we're not all trying to just get money, money, money. Money is a thing that for us, we attribute value to money. And that value ends up giving us value. It ends up giving our time value. It ends up saying like whether we are good enough or not good enough. You don't see billionaires walking around and go, oh, I can't do anything. I suck. No, why? He's got so much money. And what's funny is, in the Bible, we see God pulling that same line. We see Him serve God or serve money. Ryan spoke about it earlier this morning. You can't serve both. And so there's something in this thing where this connects money, connects us and our selfishness and our self-being. And then there's the side of where it's God. I'm going a bit ahead of myself, so I just want to retract. You'll understand just now where I'm going with this. What's going to make this year different than the last? I want to say to you what makes this year different than 2019 is that today, as we stand here, the day of Jesus coming back is closer. We can't deny that. And the fact that Jesus coming back is closer means this thing, that evil and unrighteousness will increase. Amen? We all know that scripture. And that means that suffering will increase, especially if you're a Christian. It's like, how's that for a beginning of the year? Hey guys, the evil is coming. And it's going to get harder. It's going to get worse. But Jesus is coming. Man. But the way I see it, that as the evil increases, as the unrighteousness increases, as the trials and tribulations, as they come, what I'm seeing is, and this is what I want us to see this morning, is that it's opportunity for growth. It's opportunity for us to grow deeper into the things that God has set out for us. It's opportunity for us to grow in the fruit of the Spirit that God is calling in us. That God is cultivating. There's that famous movie, and it's a movie, it's not the Bible, but this movie thing of Bruce, I think it's Bruce Almighty, where he's praying for patience. Oh, I just need patience with my wife or whatever. I can't remember what. And then God kind of comes and sits with him at the table or with his wife or something. He's with his wife, Morgan Freeman, okay? Sits there and he says, but you prayed for patience. I'm giving you an opportunity to be patient. And that is the truth of it all. Is we, when we say, God, I want patience, I want endurance, I want, we think that it's going to come like a 2-minute noodles in our bowl, right here in our lap, and man, I can enjoy it. I'm patient. Woo! God saved me from that one. No. No. That doesn't speak of God. That doesn't speak of the Spirit of God working inside of us. And us overcoming the flesh, overcoming the things of this world through the power that is placed inside of us. And I believe for this year that that is where God is drawing us towards. If you don't believe me, read Romans 5. Suffering produces what? Perseverance or endurance. Perseverance or endurance produces what? Character. Character produces hope. And that hope will not be put to shame. It causes us to see. It causes us to not go like this, just this year, where. No, it causes us to lift our posture, to lift our eyes and go, I'm seeing Jesus. I'm seeing His kingdom. I'm walking forward. There's something in our eyes that are different than that that's in the world. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose hope. I don't want to get to that place of where I just go, oh, there's nothing that's going to work. When you start listening to music these days, all around, they all speak about how hopeless the world is. The fires in Australia, people just going about how hopeless, how like no one is doing anything about it, how like the war in Iran, the things that's being done there, how hopeless. The jobs, how hopeless the electricity, how hopeless this world is, how everything is just going to pot. I want to say to you that this has been said to us and has been given us by God in His Word from the beginning. And in that, He's going like, but don't worry, I've got a future. I've got a plan. My son is coming back. There's hope. We can see. There's hope. And this is what we want. We want hope. I just wrote something down here. Just busyness does not equal growth or well-being or financial well-being, happiness, or gets you your preferred future. It doesn't. You can be very busy, even with things that look like they matter. But unless you're walking in obedience with God, you're not going anywhere. And to walk in obedience with God, you need to know Him. You need to find Him. All of last year, We spoke about loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. It's that place of finding Him. But this year, that doesn't now all of a sudden go, no, 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 we're not going to love God with all our heart anymore. No, no, we're now doing something else. Like, no, 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 no. It's still just that. It's still just loving God with everything that is inside of us. There's nothing else. Our work, our family, our marriages, all these other things, they're all peripheral and they all flow out of this one place. And that's loving Him. If we can't find that place, nothing else that we put our hands to will be of value. It just becomes a busyness that pulls you in and draws you this way and draws you that way. And I want to say 100% of the time, it's going to draw you away from God. Because that is the spirit of this world. This world is not set out for you to be happy, to find your fam, to find your, I don't know, your fortune or your, like, there's no American dream. No, no, no. This world is set out for your destruction. And there's an enemy out there that he's going to make sure that you don't get to God. So, oh, let's start here. Matthew 6. Mike's going to get it up for us there. Matthew 6, verse 19 to 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where the thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So, to jump back, I said there was two things that we're faced with in this life. Serving God fully to Him or money. The temporary, the physical, the right here, right now, the me. What does the scripture point to? It doesn't point to anything other than money or physical things. We try and win this, do that, build this, build that. It's like, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I can't build something that's going to get me to heaven. That's been tried and failed miserably. There's nothing that I can build or give my hands to that rusts and moth cannot lay their hands on in this life, here, right now. I want to go verse 22. And this is beautiful. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. Just stop there. Can you imagine that in your mind? Can you imagine what that looks like? I'm a very graphic and visual person. Well, visual is the better word. But your body being full of light. If we go to the Old Testament and we hear about Moses that met up face to face with God, people that saw him afterwards, what did they say of him? His face was radiant. He had to cover his face because his eyes, when he saw God, what happened is his whole being got filled with the light of God. Have you thought of that? I know for myself, it's not about me being the one that's full of light, but man, I want that for me. I want to see God. I want to know Him in a way where His light shines into my being. And my body is filled with His light. But, verse 23, if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So he starts off by saying, don't lay yourself up treasures on this earth, but lay yourself up treasures in heaven. And from that switches over to going, what your eye is. Like, where is your eyes looking? What are you seeing? What are you looking at? Where are you putting your focus? Where are you putting your vision? In verse 20, 24, he ends it off beautifully. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Doesn't that pierce our hearts? Of where our focus is? Of where our time is? See, if our time is spent on money, and I'm not saying all of us need to sell all our possessions and come and sit on the church step and just focus on God. It's not what I'm saying. See, we need to be working, dentist, and coffee shop owner. And we need to be doing those things, not for the money, but for God and what He wants to do in us and through us in those different places. Whether it's a till at Pick and Pay, or whether it's in the bank, or whether it's under a car, or whether it's putting in people's cameras, or making cupboards, or being a mom at home looking after her kids. There's a focus in us. There's a seeing in us that needs to be aimed in the right place through us doing those things. But if our aim is to find money, to find this thing, don't worry about that. Then we'll end up in the wrong place. We'll end up building a thing that is not able to stand. It's just something that will keep us busy. And the difference is this. If your treasure is where your money is, and those kind of things, you'll very quickly, for work, go the extra mile. But when God is asking you to maybe do something, maybe it's at work, maybe it's to give money away for someone, maybe it's to bless someone, maybe it's to bring someone your own, maybe it's to serve someone else, you're going to quickly find a way to say no to it. Because it's not going to earn you money, it's just going to cost you money. And this is where, for each and every one of us sitting here, including me, where our battle lies. If it was not where our battle is lying laid, God wouldn't have cared about mentioning it. So we're going to go on a little bit further. In 1 John 2, verse 15 to 17, says this. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with all of its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. What a promise. Same thing. God, money. Eternity, temporary. The lust of the flesh is what I want. Like, I want to eat this thing, I'm going to eat it now. Like, that kind of attitude. It's sexual. Our body has needs. You've got a need to go to the toilet because you've eaten food and it's moving things out. But our body has got processes and there's things and needs. And we can either feed that or we can walk in a way where it's opposite the need of our body. And I want to say this just it's not in my notes, but fasting is something that I really feel like God is pushing in our hearts for this year to go into more. Last year, we saw an amazing time when we as a congregation fasted for 3 days. We saw God doing things. But see, if I'm set to the lust of the flesh, something like fasting is not something that I'm going to subject my flesh to. Because we can be all kinds of spiritual about it. But not eating for 3 days is not easy. It's not nice. Amen? But see, if our eyes are set on what is ahead, taking my body and shifting it towards that is very much easier. And it makes the pain worth it. The same for any athlete or sports person. Like never, there's not one person that exercises and go, whoa, it just feels amazing all the time. It's just like, no. It's like, there's 5 minutes of that, maybe. For some, for me, less. And then after that, it's like, oh my God, no. I went jogging. I've got a bad knee, but I went jogging the other day. I jogged 2 kilometers, and I was like, never again. Perseverance, suffering. See, but if I'm doing it for a specific reason, my wife gets so mad with me when I say that. Like, you guys know the trophy and all the... I subjected my body and having to exercise to be this champion wrestler. But now I'm like, hey, I've got enough medals and all of those things. I don't see anything that's worth exercising for. So I'm not... Ziggy, she's still saying something. But it's the thing. It's how we are made. But see, now if I put my mind towards where I'm heading, if I'm seeing God, I'm going like, nothing that this body needs to face is as important as what I'm going towards. So I subject my body away from the needs, the lust that's in my body, and subject them towards God and say, that is the place I'm going towards. Then it makes that 5 kilometer jog or this thing that you need to do or that thing. It makes it not easy, but it makes it doesn't matter because it's not this thing that I'm doing that matters. It's the end goal. It's the end point that I'm aiming towards that matters. Lust of the eyes. That scripture in Matthew says, if your eyes are filled with darkness, it fills your body. The idea of the Jewish concept there, is the idea of a window. Our eyes are a window to what's going on here. And if our eyes are set to the wrong place, if our eyes are set to darkness, what that's going to do, no matter how much you read your Bible, no matter how much you try and serve here and do that and do this, what's going to end up happening, your body is going to be filled with darkness. Because the key is not in your hands and the things that you're doing. The key is here. And if I'm not giving myself space to look at God, to see Him, to fill my eyes with the light that is Him, I'm not going to have that light inside of me. Does that make sense to us? And the pride of life. It's the things that I feel like I deserve. The thing that I feel like I've earned this. This is what people need to look at me. And it every time comes out of that place where we look at someone else and we go, I'm actually better than what you are, and therefore acknowledge me. And that's what we're aiming towards. We want to be that person that's the most anointed and the most this and the we want to be that person. See, that's our nature. It doesn't cost us a single amount of exercise to give in to the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes, and the pride of our lives. It costs nothing. Zero. You can have all of that right now, today. Don't need to make a choice. It just happens. So I'm going to jump back to Matthew 6. And this is going to be a piece of scripture. It's going to be a bit longer. And so just bear with me. I know it's warm, but I do feel that this is important. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I just want to stop there. How much of our lives is set around these things? What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How people are looking at me? Like, do you agree with me? And we set everything around these things. I can't invite people into my home. I mean, we only eat baked beans. Really? That's what goes on. Well, I can't go to Ryan's house because, I mean, my pluckies has got holes in them. Well, I cannot go speak to this one or that one because this and that. Or the opposite of it. I've got to work so hard because, you know, I need those shoes. Because otherwise people won't, what will they think of us? They might think that we are poor. People work themselves to death trying to look a certain way because of what they think other people want and other people are seeing and other people are needing. They end up destroying their families. They end up, compromise. But they end up neglecting their kids, neglecting the husband, neglecting the wife, neglecting things that matter, all just because of that anxiousness of, and I'm simplifying here, but what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Anxiousness probably takes away time. I'm just saying. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We can't read that and go, that does not apply to me. Or, these things are not in my life. Like, I'm putting the kingdom first. I want to say to you that for me and Helen and our family, we try and put God first in everything. We're not holding on to money. We're not holding on to position or whatever else it might be. We're saying, God, you are first in our family. But when I read this, I go, sure, God. This penetrates my heart. Because I'm anxious. I'm scared about this and I'm scared of that. And is it going to be enough? Is it going to come through? Is this? We can't read this and go, just let it wash over. If our eyes are set on Him and our hearts are set to be filled with His light, we need to read this and go, God, come and help me. Come and help me to see You. Come and help me to find You. Help me to put Your kingdom first in everything. Because I can't do it. And the lust of my flesh is going to pull me this side. The lust of my eyes is going to draw me towards this. The pride of life is going to want to push me forward in this. The other evening at a service in Sunningdale, and I felt the Lord remind me of something from long ago when I was a student. But the end of it, I felt God say to me that this year, that He's bringing a death to significance. And all of us want to be significant for something. And you want to know that what you're doing makes a difference. And it matters. I felt God say to me, Rian, all you need to do is trust in Me. I spoke, and it stood firm. All you need to do is just give yourself to Me, and I will move you. Whether you pick up your hand once, or whether you work your hands to bleeding and you die, I'm still the one doing the work. Bring a death to significance. Can you die? Can you die in that place of wanting to be significant? Can you die to that desire of wanting to do something that matters? Am I enough? Do I matter enough? Now, that's not for you. You can take it if you want it, but I believe that's for me. So I want to pull us towards three things that are for the year. And this is what I'm going to end off with. Three things, three places for this year where I believe that God is going to help us see. Where God is going to help us fill our hearts and fill our lives with light. And I want to ask you this year, that as you go home today, and you go tonight, and before you get to bed, I want you to consider these things. And say, God, come and help me see. Come and help me where I need to do what I need to do. And so the first place is three. I'm going to break them down. Believe that God is calling us to a place of finding His presence. It would be good for you to write these down on your cell phone, somewhere in your book, but to write these down because you're going to have to work with them. God is calling us to a place of His presence. In His presence, God is going to bring us and show us His passions. And in seeing, knowing God, finding Him, seeing Him, seeing His passions, knowing His heart, the things that's burning His heart, we're going to find His purposes. So it's finding God's presence, getting to know His passions, and through that, walking out and accomplishing His purposes. God's presence, personal devotion. I want to say to you that just in this year, we are on the 12th of January. I've sat with 4-5 couples that don't want anything to do with one another. Married couples. They can't look each other in the eyes. Don't know how to love one another. Hearts are broken towards each other. And when you start boiling things down, you go like, okay, but what is God saying about this? They don't know what God is saying about this. Because they're not spending time with God. Any one person that's got no hope for the problem or the situation that they are in, the one thing that every one of them have is not spending time with God. Personal devotion. We just think, cool, I gave my life to Jesus, So now I'm a Christian, and I like, cool, I've got that done. Whew. If I die, I'm okay. Whew. It's like medical insurance. No, not going to work. Now, we need God every single day of your life. You need God in the way that you treat your spouse. You need God to tell you you treated them wrongly. You need God to actually say to you, actually, you need to go and say sorry. Actually, you need to be the one that should do something. You need God to tell you that. Otherwise, what are you going to do? Everything, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, it's going to come through and you go, I deserve this. I deserve love. I deserve you to do this. I deserve for you to do that. That it's all about me. God and money. Temporary money, me, all of those things. God, eternal. And it's true for every single situation that you are facing. If you're not spending time with God, I'm telling you, you're not going to have the keys to unlock it. You're not going to have the space in your heart to walk it out and come out on the other side victorious. God didn't want us to kind of like be these Christians that go through life and just go, I'm struggling. No. That's not what God called us to be. God called us to be victorious. That's who He is. And as His children, we take on His nature. We live in who He is. I want to say to us, church, we can't afford to neglect that place. Doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished in this life. It will go into nothing. And one day when eternity comes and you stand in eternity and you look back, you're not even going to think about what happened on the earth. You're going to be consumed either with God or you're going to be consumed by the fires that are around you and the screaming and the burning and the gnashing of teeth. And I'm not preaching a go to hell kind of message of heaven. It's not. I'm just saying to you, this is the truth. The temporary, we read it. It's going to go away with the desires of this world. It's going to burn away. We need to find God's presence. Another area of God's presence is the gathering of the saints. Matthew 18 verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. There's more promise in the Bible for people, church, saved ones coming together and having the promise that God is there than personal devotion. I'm just saying it. Go and look it up. There's more promise for that. So if there's more promise towards coming together and being together and in that finding God, why are we neglecting it? Why are we fighting against it? I want to say to you why. Because of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the spirit of the world. It doesn't want you in the presence of God. Secondly, in God's presence, we find God's passion. God's passion is not your destiny. It's not the plan that God is for your life. No. That is God's passions. The things that makes Him happy. The thing that brings Him pleasure. It's finding that place. When you are in love and you are, let's call it young in love. I'm still young in love with my wife. But let's go to someone that's not yet married, okay? Because more people seem to remember that time, okay? But when you're young in love, you want to do everything to impress this person. You want to know whether they like, if they like broccoli, you'll buy them broccoli. If they like anchovies, everything has got anchovies on. Because it's about that person. Now that should continue in married life. It doesn't. Work on it. Guys, specifically, it's about your wife. Should work on that. But with God, it's even more so. It's not about us. I didn't come now into, because I gave my life to God and I got the slot machine where I just go cling and I get to be an amazing preacher. Cling and I get to have the Ferrari and cling and I get to have the house. And No. It's about Him. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. So I'm dying. I'm withering away. No, it's Jesus inside of me that's growing. Because at the end of the day, when He comes back, that's the very thing that's going to stand up and go to be with Him. We need to change that. Psalm 16 verse 11 says this. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are the pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forevermore. It's not pleasures that wither away and die in this life. No. It's pleasures that are into eternity, forevermore. The place we find it is in His presence. Romans 8 verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. It's coming to Him. It's finding His heart. Finding what makes His heart smile. Because we are His sons. And He's brought us into that place. And in being His sons, as we find His presence, we find His passion, He comes and He gives us, as His sons, He gives us something to join Him in. See, a father, there's this thing of father and son or father and daughter or days at work. You don't take your child to work with you so that when you're working on that little bolt that's going to hold this whole skyscraper together, that your son can take that bolt and put it into the skyscraper kind of thing. No. It's so that your son can see what the father is doing. That's why you take him to work. It's so that he can see what dad is busy with, what mom is busy with. Does that make sense to us? And in the same way, God is calling us into a place of where He's saying, I want you to come with me and see how I work. I want you to come with me and experience our work and the people in your workplace, the people in your neighborhood, the family members, this thing, that thing, this unknown person that you don't know. I want you to see how I'm working in their lives. And I want you to be part of it. See, what greater joy would it be for my daughter, I don't have a son, but my daughter, for Papa Ann, to see what I do, and she actually goes, wow, that's amazing. All of it is, again, to fill our eyes, it goes a loop, to fill our eyes with the wonder of who He is, the wonder of what He's doing. The wonder of what He wants to do. The wonder of the possibilities that's inside of Him. Is to give us that hope that can't be put to shame. For 2020, I want to ask you, what do you see? You can put that last one on. What do you see? Maybe we can close our eyes. What do you see for 2020? Are you stuck? Looking back at the year, what it was? Or are you able to lift your eyes, to see Him, and through seeing Him, looking into the next year and going with God, in God, through God? Or are we just stuck to our little self? I believe for us, God is placing out something for us to walk into. Graham, just keep your eyes closed. Graham, did you want to come? Graham had a word earlier. in worship. He didn't know what I was preaching on.
You remember last year when there was a lot, God was laying in maturity and intimacy into us. And I feel that this year God's going to lay a fitness into us. He's going to be honing us to do His will, to walk out His will.
I felt like I want us to share that. Because I believe God is calling us to a place of where He wants us to walk with Him. But unless we're able to see, unless we're able to be with Him, to know Him, to find His passions, we won't be able to walk in His purposes. And the thing that keeps us from seeing is us. Our own desires of our eyes, our flesh, the pride that's in our hearts. Those things are at head, butting heads with the things and the purposes of God, the presence of God. It's butting heads with those things. I believe God wants to bring us to a place where we stand at the end of 2020. And we're not looking at what 2020 was and wasn't, but we're just going, God, You have been faithful. And I believe, God, that You're going to be even more faithful in 2021, 2022, 2030, 2050, until that day that Jesus comes back.